everybody. It's Connor Lestoka here at 372 Pages, joined by Bob Fingerman once again for a Meet the Authors segment. Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. And yourself?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just am awaiting the onset of full-blown fall here. But doing these always sort of, fall is the cozy season, as they say. And these are like the coziest part of my week, I would say, getting together to, talk with an obscure author that you've illustrated.
Ah, yes. Yes, indeed.
It's like wrapping yourself in a warm blanket and holding an enormous latte mug with both hands and pulling my knees up to my chest and sort of looking off into the middle distance like a stock photo person.
A full body Snuggie.
Yeah, I have a Snuggie, and I have my friend actually invented the Snuggie before it came out, and is very bitter that he didn't actually his wasn't the one that took off.
Mm.
He's got that sort of that Mr. Pibb version of the Snuggie that I think he still has a warehouse full of unsold ones. And he's not. This is not a character I'm inventing. This actually happened. But he's a doctor now. He's doing just fine.
Oh yeah, he's got this beat.
Well, you have found a author today that I'm quite excited about because it's a little different than what we've usually done. He works in a couple of different mediums. One of them is pretty familiar to you.
Yeah, well, sometimes I've had a difficult time tracing the flow chart of how I encounter these, but this one was right in my wheelhouse, as they say. He being I won't say a comic book artist, but more of a comic critique expert. Mm-hmm. The term is kind of a pejorative, but in comic book circles, being a letter hack is sort of a badge of honor. And I think he might be, in fact, I think it said on the biographical material on the back cover of one of his books that he was the most prolific letter hack of all time. I'm not sure if Guinness has adjudicated that, but he claims it.
And a letter hack is just someone who writes in letters to the letters page of a comic book, like...
Absolutely, yeah. Usually pointing out things they got wrong.
well, that's a weird, weird definition of an author. But I guess we can hear more about his actual endeavors. Do you want to should we bring him out now? Ready to meet him?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this gentleman is joining us from Burpee, Pennsylvania, where he resides. Please welcome everybody, Biff Pow. Biff.
Okay. This is on. And this plugs into there. Okay.
Yeah, Biff, you're...
We're just about ready to go. This is... Okay, this is Biff Pow, and I have with me Connor Lestoka. This is the podcast You Couldn't Be More Wrong. Again, I'm Biff Pow, and I've got Connor Lestoka and Bob Fingerman with me. Okay, guys? Okay.
Yeah, we're both here, but I...
Great.
Are we on your podcast? We thought you were having us on to... You were having you on to our podcast.
Okay, I'm looking over my emails.
Is this, well, yeah, I don't. I certainly okay. didn't. Was not consulted on being on your podcast.
Okay.
You called into the link I sent you. You know what, Biff? It's not important.
Well,
if you have
agree to disagree.
Sure. If you have a podcast, I mean, there's no harm in getting this out to as many people as possible. That's all we're trying to do.
So you think I have a podcast?
Is that
you couldn't be more wrong. I have four podcasts.
Okay, Biff.
Okay.
But we're on currently one of them, correct?
Okay,
are we on more than one of your podcasts?
You technically are, yes. You are on three of my podcasts.
So you record interviews and publish the identical material to multiple podcasts. You're like
I record pretty much everything I say.
Well, okay. Well, that's a good way to make sure no one ever takes your words out of context, I guess.
So my first question for you, gentlemen, what time is it?
Well, it's in Vermont, it's 4:15 p.m.
Yeah, 1:15 in sunny California.
Okay, you are wrong. I'm looking at I'm right on the website of the U.S. Naval Observatory, which keeps the time, and you are off. Both of you, wrong.
Off by what? I mean, I don't understand. I looked at my computer clock.
Okay. That is yours connected directly to the United States Naval Observatory?
Well, it's not connected directly. I don't know how to do that.
Then I think that's settled. You are wrong. Now, do you have any questions for me?
I do, Biff. I'm eager to talk to you because it's, you know, Bob did an extremely flattering portrait of you and passed along your bio. It sounds like you've had a fascinating life, being comics adjacent, I guess, an adjacent part of the major comics universe.
Comics are one of the things that I do. Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about it. As Bob described you, you're a letter hack. So you what you do is you read Marvel and DC comics and you keep extensive notes, sort of like what they've gotten wrong, and you take great pleasure in writing in and informing them about that. Am I correct in saying that?
Is this Bob or is this Connor?
This is Connor.
I just want it for my show notes. I just want that at the bottom of who's speaking. I'm going to do a transcript, of course.
Yes, before you started your show, I guess, we did our introduction. So our audience is going to be pretty familiar with who was speaking. It was that's why I was surprised that you started recording on your own.
I did, and redundancy never hurts.
Okay. So, yes, this is Connor. Why was that important to clarify?
Transcript.
Oh, transcript, of course. The question was, though, was that an accurate way to describe how you spend your time?
It is an accurate way, yes.
Okay,
there's many different ways to be accurate about how I spend my time, and that is one of them.
All right, well, I guess let's sort of like get to your omnibus, your opus. You have collected these errors, the errata of the Marvel and DC verses in a four volume tetralogy called "Excuse Me, But."
Mm-hmm.
And so you've indexed and cross indexed every continuity error and embarrassing gaffe that they've ever published in comics. Incredible.
Let me just page through. Let's just begin. Stingray, 75 pages. On what's wrong with Stingray. 3D Man. I can't even begin to tell you.
I'm not even familiar with either of those.
Power Pack.
Sure.
So many errors in Power Pack. Elsa Bloodstone?
No.
They blew it.
Is that a... So you find this amusing one day when these publishers screw up errors.
Well, I mean, it's like, have you ever seen anyone slip on the ice and fall?
Yeah.
And you're in a warm cafe somewhere, sipping a green tea, a matcha, and you laugh. It's funny.
So, yeah, they're sort of like, they're bloopers. They're like AFV videos to you.
Namor?
The submariner. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like, the Hindenburg exploding. The amount of errors is off the charts.
Well, that's a huge claim. What's like, just, you know, flip to a random page in Namor. Like, what is one of the boners they pulled?
I'm sorry, I do have a childish side.
I know, we do too here. We have a lot of fun on this. I hope you have fun on your podcast. We have fun on ours.
Well, number one, Namor and Aquaman never kissed. Error.
Okay, well, yeah, that's sort of an existential error. I mean, that sort of is a, you know, that depends on what you think should happen. It's a weird to describe it as an error that something never happened.
Silver Sable? Please. She did not own a chainsaw.
Okay. I thought it was going to be more like in issue 77, Namor, you know, traveled to... the fire planet, but then in issue like 513, he was addressing his father, and he said, "I've never been to the fire planet." That sort of error.
Hang on. Could you just say that all again? I'm going to type that down.
In issue 77, Namor.
Issue 77
went to the fire planet, but
Namor
in issue
went.
513, when he was talking to his father, he said that he had never been to the
fire
planet.
Said that he had never been. To the fire planet. Sir.
No, don't write it in.
Or
I was
madam.
Giving that as an example.
When you claim in episode 77?
77. But yes, like I said, this is just sort of an example off the top of my head. You're the one with the tetralogy.
What kind of name do you want to call them?
I don't know what the fire planet was named. I just made it up.
Wretched pinheads. Got it so wrong.
No, don't get confrontational. This is not... Don't put my name on this either. I've got to...
sit in amazement that someone with an ass face like yours...
Do not use that
ever
sort of language
put
either.
Namor on a planet that he had never been to. Sincerely,
sir. This is a theoretical error. Okay. Well, sincerely is a nice way to end.
I send. All right. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. But I again, encourage you to please verify that before you send it off. It sounds like you get kind of worked up writing these letter hacks.
No, I'm very calm. Dupe? I mean, what has Dupe ever done for us?
Dupe
doorman?
Is a... The doorman?
Doorman, the character.
You're listing some extremely obscure characters. I don't even know if these are Marvel or DC.
There's so many mistakes. Where do I begin? Well, I'm not going to start with the big ones. I'm not going to start with Firebird or Fire Lord.
Firebird and Fire Lord are the big ones in Marvel
MODOK.
And DC.
MODOK. They don't. Yes, exactly.
Oh, MODOK. Yeah, he's huge. Did MODOK ever kiss Namor the Submariner? Did
they had a very very long sex scene? Yes.
And is that so that is not an error then? You're considering that a plus? That was,
I think I would put that there are maybe 10 to 15 things they've gotten right over the years, and that is one of them. Yes.
Okay, well, like, let's talk X-Men. Like, can we talk X-Men? That's
something
I think.
Let's talk X-Men.
I think we all know you know the major
players. Run them down, name them.
Sure. Well, like, what's your favorite Cyclops error?
Cyclops did not wear corrective lenses.
That's that's sort of his whole, like, literally. That's all he does. I mean,
but they're corrective how?
So they prevent his mutant power from firing radiation blasts at random into they control that.
Yes, but he doesn't need the grading where you like middle computer and then close up reading and mm-hmm. then far sighted. He doesn't need that.
So then why would he wear them? I don't.
That's why don't you ask the creators of the Marvel Universe?
Oh yeah,
Manifold. That's an X-Man, right?
I'm not familiar. Bob, do you know Manifold?
I don't know Manifold. Okay. I wonder if, Biff, maybe you could answer me. Have you ever brought up any of these qualms of yours with Chris Claremont, a favorite of this show?
Yeah, he wrote for X-Men for a long time. I mean, as you know, obviously, Biff.
Well, obviously, I know that. Chris Claremont is one of the stalwarts, my favorite by far. I don't think I have recorded any errors from Mr. Claremont.
He's the only flawless person in your mind.
Correct.
Wow.
That is okay. Correct.
Wow. Well, I think the less said about him, probably the better. But let's
Spider-Man 2099, one of favorite X-Men.
That came out while I was in eighth grade.
Huh.
But your favorite X-Men, you said.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if that's a
key, he's been misclassified. That is one of the errors.
Oh, that's an error that he was never listed as an X-Men. This is a very theoretical compendium of errata you've assembled.
Thank you very much.
I didn't mean that as a compliment, but Bob has told me that you've those who can't do teach type of thing. I think a lot of people get annoyed when people point out their errors. But you've actually created your own sort of comic.
Yes, I have. I have. And it is based on one of my favorite pastimes. Like, for instance, you getting the time shockingly wrong.
Shockingly.
I might have had the corrector come in.
The corrector?
With a sidekick. Yes, the corrector. He deals with all these errors, like Spider-Man 2099 being misclassified as
not
being
an X-Man. Sure.
Correct. Yes. And so he will appear in the comic, correct things, put the universe right.
Yeah, he sort of has he carries a burden on his broad shoulders with his sidekick Pedant Man.
That is correct. broad shoulders. Is that a crack at me?
No, not at all. I just absorbed your picture. It did seem like your shoulders, in proportion to your head, were, you know, maybe your shoulders aren't broad. Maybe your head is just relatively smaller than your shoulders. I'm not sure if that's
true.
The case.
My head is small.
Okay.
How big is your head? Measure it right now.
I wear a 7 3/8 fitted cap.
Okay, but how tall is the head?
Well, that's not a measurement that I've ever taken.
You don't know how tall your head is, Bob? How tall is your head? Would you tell this?
I'm afraid I haven't measured mine from chin to the crown.
So, is that how you measure a head, from chin to crown?
That is one way to measure a head. I hope you would take more than one measurement to get the head height correct.
Well, again, what are you measuring your head for? Like, what aspect of life does that come into? Like, when you're
what do you measure anything for? To know how big it is?
I measured my circumference so that I would know what size hat to buy. But the head height.
How do you know how big of a chin strap to have? Let's say you're buying a pith helmet. How in the world do you know how big to make the chin strap on your pith helmet?
You don't measure
your head height.
Now you've got me. I would have looked like a fool walking into the pith helmet depot.
My head height is 27 inches.
Well, does your tall yet thin head have any like advantages, or is it just something that you sort of bear as your burden?
I like to think that it's aerodynamic, of course.
Sure, I guess so.
In terms of head height, how does your head height compare to, say, Eric Stoltz in Mask? He had a pretty tall head.
Oh, that's the question we all want to know.
He did have a very tall head. I believe it's minus 27. I think his is only, you know, 18 to 19.
You think? You haven't, like, you've...
I haven't measured Eric Stoltz's head with the appliques applied to his Eric Stoltz face.
Well, it sort of seems
like... I snuck onto the set of Anaconda and attempted to measure his skull without the appliques on.
Oh.
But I was kicked off.
Wow. Well, I would have... That seemed like that was probably a lot of location shooting. I would have liked to see you sneaking through the jungle onto that boat. That must have been pretty interesting.
John Voight, he actually wielded a knife at me, and I had to leave the premises.
Oh. He might not even known you were an intruder, actually. So, let's go back to the Corrector and Pedant Man. These are comics, but sort of in a... It sounds like they're like a collage. To sort of, you know, you don't actually do that much original artwork. You sort of do like commentary, is it?
Not, yes, I don't actually no work at all.
Oh. So that's I'm impressed you made that admission.
Well, I mean, it's work to discover the errors, and it's work to put the actual cutouts of the Corrector and Pedant Man into the extant comics. It's not like it's nothing.
Sure. No, I don't.
Especially because when I start to bend over, the weight, the head, there's so much up top. There's so much weight that I start to tip.
Oh,
and I've made a harness for my head. And so that way that I can kind of, there's a counterweight over a pivot point, and then I can lean down and my head won't fall over.
Okay, so that is a very good reason to have measured your head. A lot of us don't have that problem, but I understand that if...
I was not aware of that, and thank you. And I'm glad that I started this podcast to correct these kinds of things and to educate.
Are we on a tall head podcast? Is that what we're currently doing? This is a podcast for listeners with tall heads?
Well, we are talking of tall heads.
Somehow we are, yes. Somehow that is what we're talking about.
Casper mattresses can handle any head size, whether you're a normal head size, like Eric Stoltz, 18 to 19 inches. Let's say you're more lengthy head size, let's say 27 inches.
Are you doing a drop in the middle of our podcast?
This is for my podcast. Okay.
We'll edit it out of this.
They sent me one, and I have rested my head on it. Although 14 inches of my head does stick off the end, it came in a box the size of a mini fridge. I love my Casper mattress. My head thanks you, Casper. All right, go ahead.
I will. So how many issues of the Corrector have you actually published?
published is a strong word, but there's upwards of 483.
Wow, you're approaching the 500 mark's a big one. I remember I had a copy of
483,000. I think you missed
83,000.
483,000.
Yeah, you nearly 500,000.
I guess that's right. Yes.
So, how many of these are you publishing a day? I see here that you're 58 years old.
Are we off?
No, we're not off. We're still recording.
Oh, we're still going. Okay. Yeah. I pressed pause on mine.
Oh.
Yeah, I do dozens a day.
Yeah, by my count, if you were on Earth for 21,000 days in 58 years, that would be...
Are you doing the math?
25 per day if you had started at the day you literally emerged from your mother's womb.
I farm some of them out.
Oh, well, that's a
I have a team on the internet.
Okay. So that's sort of that's what George Lucas did with Chris Claremont, essentially. You've got ghostwriters.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, I have not been able to snare Mr. Claremont.
Oh, well, yeah, I can't imagine he's up to much. But that must mean that this is a fairly lucrative enterprise if you have people you're paying to do this for you then.
17.5-inch head, Chris Claremont.
Wow. Okay. Well, so that is, again, that is tall or short or average.
I believe it is right in the sweet spot.
Okay. It seems tall. It seems quite tall. But it was chin to dome. Was that how Bob described it?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, more or less. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can't look at your transcript there, Biff, to see if that was how he described it?
No, the transcript doesn't happen live. I have to sit down.
Oh, got it. Anyway, right. Yes. But yeah, so again, you are paying people to create comics for you.
That is correct.
They are unpaid,
if that was your question.
They are unpaid. Okay, so they're interns or they're... are they aware that they're not getting
paid? You'd be surprised how many people on the internet are willing to correct things without any remuneration.
Ah, so they're in it for the love of correcting other people as well.
That is correct.
I noticed you found all of your helpers on 27chan. Does that refer to your head size?
That is very astute of you, yes. I try to rope in people who have large, thin, blade-like heads. But it's not always possible, but as much as is possible, I will do that.
It sounds like vaguely like a supervillain's scheme. You're targeting people with a certain genetic thing, a head size, and you're recruiting them on a unknown message board to be part of a sort of weird, servile army.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but MODOK had a large head, did he not?
MODOK is much wider, though, than I like a more blade-like skull, but you are correct. MODOK did have a big skull.
Well, it sounds like you're a big fan. Who would you like to see play MODOK if he was introduced into the MCU?
It's kind of that wrinkly skin. Nolte.
Oh, okay, sure. He's a favorite. I could see that. I don't think he's been part of the MCU, if I'm not mistaken. He's in the Star Wars universe now, but
what is your?
Do you have an opinion about the MCU? I mean, I know you like to correct the comics, but I'm sure there's a lot of mistakes, boners, if you will, out there in the movies. Do you diverge into that, or is that something you don't dip your toe into?
I don't. It takes too much work. First of all. The movies. I'm going to
they
the movie.
They get pretty long, I guess. So you.
This
wanna...
is not a Batman serial. Why did it end so soon? It's barely getting started. Barely getting started. Suddenly credits roll, and I'm on tub 4 of popcorn. I've barely begun.
That's a unique complaint. I would say about like Avengers Endgame. I think that one clocked in at over 3 hours.
You know, I make the effort. I bring my head into the theater. I clear several rows behind me. I make it very clear to people behind me. They shall not be able to see the screen.
Right. If they're in the direct seat behind you, I guess. It is thin.
That prep barely out of the way. I sit down and the movie over. So I don't bother.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's just a fascinating way to look at the, I think 100 hours of Marvel films that have come out in the past 2 years alone. Are you disappointed then that there's not going to be one this year?
Of course I am. Yes. Yes. No, if you play them all together, all at once.
And you can sort of get into a groove.
It's a first act.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, so the DC movies, I assume you have the same critique of that you just wish they were longer. You must be excited about the Snyder Cut coming out. That's going to be 4 hours plus, I hear.
DC, what's that now?
DC Comics. DC is Detective Comics.
I was not aware of this.
You're not aware that there's a Pepsi to Marvel's Coke?
No, I was not aware that there was an Oreo to the Hydrox. That is correct.
Okay. They've got a few heroes. You might have heard of Batman, Superman, mm-hmm. Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. Hawkman.
Is Big Bertha a part of that universe?
Mario? I believe she's a
Blast
Mario.
Blastar?
Darkhawk? Hawkman. Hawkman, I know.
Hawkman.
Bob, is he naming real people here? He's tapping into beyond my knowledge here.
Yeah, I'm at a loss. I've heard of Big Barda, but I don't know Big Bertha.
Okay. Well, but there is a Big Bertha in Mario. It sounds like Biff, though, like has possibly just for fun, like gone on and maybe even looked up some of the most obscure things to sort of have some fun with us.
Are you making fun of my head again?
No. You're the one who said Big Barda.
Demolition Man, for
Demolition
instance.
Oh, yeah, we're all aware of him. That was a Stallone and Wesley Snipes movie.
D-Man, we call him.
I'm friends with the guy who wrote Demolition Man, so there you go.
Well, there you go. How big is his head?
Oh, I'd say it's modestly proportioned.
Is it like MODOK style?
Oh, no, you would be very disappointed. I think it's barely a foot tall.
I do not like that.
What is your what's your biggest complaint about? Well, I guess your biggest complaint was that MODOK never kissed the Submariner. Is that the complaint?
That's one of them. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's flip to your MODOK page in your tome. Let's go to his first appearance, okay. Tales of Suspense number 93. What do they screw up in that one?
I have to flip a number of pages here.
Sure.
Oh, in Tales of Suspense, what?
93, number 93. That was his first appearance. September of 1967.
That is when he was wed to the Fire Lord, I believe.
Oh, which took place on the Fire Planet?
I believe so. Okay. Mistake.
Oh. It was a mistake that he was wed to the Fire Lord because in his heart he knew he wanted to marry the Submariner.
I think it was because he was just had retired from the Great Lakes Avengers.
Got it. There we go.
Right.
A lot of I think and I'm pretty sure is coming through here. And I just don't get that when you consult Microsoft Encarta or the World Book. They present facts as more of these are what happened. These are certainties.
Oh, good heavens! My forehead just tipped into my microphone. Let me readjust the cantilever here. There we go. All right.
Bob, were you about to say something?
I like a little hedging with my facts.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, who's to say who won World War II? You know, that's all out there still.
Yeah, it is.
They call it objective reality. So you know,
yeah. We all have our own truth. The truth is overdetermined, as they say.
Well, I don't want anyone to think that you've got a big head about your own. Your book here, so I appreciate that you have a little bit of self-deprecation.
We all have our bugaboos, as they say. Like, what is your Bob? You're in the world. What is your biggest complaint about the Marvel Universe?
That I've had such a small role in it.
and Connor,
To me, I don't like that they're so quippy. I think that they're acting like the stake of the whole planet is at stake, and then yet they're still saying that happened, and it's like, yeah, that did happen. They killed half the people on the planet. Like, take this a little more seriously.
And now a message from LegalZoom.com.
Oh, no.
LegalZoom.
Biff.
You guys don't mind, do you?
We do. Like, we don't have ads on our podcast, and I think our listeners sort of respect that about us.
LegalZoom, if you're forming a corporation, an LLC.
Well, Bob, I think
any
that,
other kind of corporation.
This might be a good
we're
opportunity
not lawyers,
for us
but
to,
we can certainly help you form an
out,
LLC.
Bob, unless you have anything else.
I think we've covered it.
Thank you, Biff. This has been an eye-opening, I think. And I think if you want to find Biff's merchandise or his corrector comics, you can look on his Etsy shop or TeePublic. Find it all there. Biff?
Thank you. This has been You Couldn't Be More Wrong. And I'm Biff Powell, and I'm with Bob and Connor. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you in an hour when I do another episode.